Welcome back to NPR Illinois Community Voices. I'm your correspondent for today, Craig McFarland, and I have such a special guest that we get to catch up with today. Originally from Springfield, Illinois, and now based out of New York City, where she's taking the jazz world by storm. In fact, she was just named a person of interest by The Hollywood Reporter, and she's fresh off her second appearance on the Today Show. We've got Stella Cole today. How are you, Stella?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Craig. This is so much fun.
It is so great to get a chance to talk to you because we were just reminiscing a little bit that you and I were on the stage together. And you know, there's always those moments where you see bits of greatness in your castmates. And just to continue to see what's happening with your career has just been really amazing. It's great because you'll see on social media people going, hey, did you just see Stella on the Today Show? And it's wonderful to see the progression of your career. And it's going to be great to get a chance to talk to you today. I think let's go ahead and start there. You know, you are doing national press on the Today Show now. You get to sing on there. And how was that experience since you're just fresh off of it?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. It was amazing. It was like, it felt like I was hallucinating. And it's hard to get used to that stuff. I was the musical guest, so it was amazing. I got to do an interview with Al Roker and all of them, but Al Roker was a big deal to me. When the four, you know, correspondents came up, we were doing our rehearsal and Al Roker started like slow dancing with the production manager. And I was like, I can't believe Al Roker's slow dancing while I do my rehearsal right now. Both times I've been there, I'm like, wow, here I am at The Rock and I live in New York and I'm going to be on the Today Show. This is nuts. So I also got to meet Jimmy Fallon and Neil Patrick Harris, who were the other guests that day, and they were both super sweet. So yeah, it was just a surreal morning. I had a lot of fun.
That's fantastic. Now, you mentioned that this was your second appearance. And of course, this time you were on solo to promote your new album, It's Magic. And we're going to talk all about that. But I do want to ask a bit about your first appearance, because you did get a chance to sing your duet, Snow, of course, made famous by White Christmas, with Darren Criss on that first performance. So can you talk to me actually just about how that collaboration with Darren came to be?
Yeah, absolutely. Working with Darren was such a dream come true. Speaking of, you know, growing up in Springfield and everything, I remember being in my childhood home in middle school and high school, like obsessed with Glee. My sister and my mom and I all watched it together. And so I was a huge fan of Darren for many, many years before we met. And he actually commented on one of my videos a few years back, commented on one of my Instagram singing videos. And he was like, oh my gosh, I love this. Want to join me next week at the Carlisle? For people who don't know, the Carlisle is this like one of the most iconic nightclubs in New York. It's been around forever. And so I got to go sing with him at the Carlisle just because he happened to see one of my videos on Instagram. I was so nervous to meet him and sing with him, but he was just the nicest human. And it's so sweet that all the things he does for sort of up and coming artists. And so I asked him to be on my Christmas album and he said he'd be happy to. So we went to a recording studio together in LA. His wife had just had a new baby like 2 weeks ago. So he was sweet enough to like leave his newborn baby for a couple of hours and record this tune. And we had so much fun in the studio. And the Today Show was actually our first time ever doing it live, not just in the studio, having like a bunch of takes to do it. So it was nerve wracking, but so exciting. And Darren is such a natural performer and so charismatic. So he made it just so easy and fun the first time around.
Yeah, so now we've got really two main reasons why you're on today. The first, of course, is to talk about It's Magic and your second studio album. And this really, I think, has a lot of difference from it seemingly your first album. That was a crowdfunded album that you were able to do kind of on your own. But there is a richness to the sound that you get out of this It's Magic album. I was actually on my way home from Chicago last night just listening to this album, and your voice and the instrumental, it's just a thing of beauty. And so a tremendous album for sure. But talk to me a bit about It's Magic.
Oh, well, thank you. First of all, that really means a lot. Yeah, it's definitely been very different from the first record. Like you said, it was crowdfunded, and this time it's my major label debut. We put it out with Decca Records, which is under Universal Music, which is one of the, you know, three big major record labels. So Universal, Sony, and Warner. So it's so crazy to be working with Universal Music. Just totally a dream come true. Also so nice to have that support so that we could, you know, have more musicians and have the lush sound you're describing, because that lushness and the fullness of the sound was really important to me. I wanted to sort of capture the old Hollywood magic of all of these movies that I grew up on, the movies that sort of first introduced me to this music. So movies like The Wizard of Oz and The Sound of Music and Mary Poppins, Singing in the Rain. I wanted it to sound very inspired by those songs. And you know, those studio budgets back then in the 40s were absolutely insane. And they were, you know, every song with a full orchestra. So hopefully we'll get there someday. But for now, it's like a 20 or so piece string section. The arrangements are just so beautiful. I think they just sound like it's like 200 people playing the charts because the arrangement's done by the wonderful Alan Broadbent, who's an amazing pianist and arranger. He's worked with so many of my heroes like Michael Bublé and Diana Krall and Barbra Streisand, you know. So I'm super happy with the way that its magic has turned out.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm already looking forward to picking up your symphony album someday. It's going to go out there into
Yes,
the
can't
universe
wait.
for sure. It's wonderful too, because you've mentioned in interviews that you, from a young age, were called an old soul, and that it seemed like you're almost out of time. You should have been born in the 30s and 40s, with the voice that you have. But dig into me with me a little bit on this old Hollywood. What is it about that era? You've mentioned it in a lot of interviews that you grew up on those musicals of old Hollywood, but what is it about that time and place that you really feel connected to?
I've been called an old soul my whole life since I was born, which is pretty funny and I think pretty true. Something I've been thinking a lot about lately is like why I'm doing this and why, as a 2-year-old, I just fell in love with these movies. It doesn't make a ton of sense, but I think something that's become more clear to me lately, you know, a lot of people tell me that my music or my little singing videos online bring them a lot of like comfort and calm, and that really means a lot to me, and that's sort of become my goal. The world is quite chaotic, and everybody's stressed, and there's, you know, so much tragedy in the world. And I think that I hope to just be like an uplifting source of light for people. And I think it was sort of the same way when all of these movies and all of this music was being made in the 40s and 50s. You know, most jazz standards were written coming out of the Great Depression. It was very much the old Hollywood stuff was very much escapist media. People could like forget about their troubles and go see this sort of magical world that I don't think it didn't exist in the 40s. Like the 40s were not some magical perfect time. It was like this other world. And that's why I decided to call it its magic. Like I want it to be this other world that doesn't even really exist here. And I think they do that so well in those old movies. It just seems like you're in a dream, like the beautiful costumes and the beautiful soaring string orchestrations and the dancing. Like, it's like you're just watching. Gene Kelly doesn't seem like he's a human person. He's like floating on air. So, you know, that's kind of, I think, why I relate to all that media so much. And I think it's really important for people to have something that will just bring them a little bit of joy right now.
I should mention, you've done two other Community Voices interviews with Vanessa Ferguson. And in those interviews, you kind of mentioned something that I really wanted to dig into a little bit as well. Now, you go away from Springfield, you go to college at Northwestern, you major in theater and international relations. So I haven't seen many people ask you about your international relations side, but what was the draw there?
Yeah, well, my mom is a lobbyist in Springfield. She started out working for the state and now has her own like consulting firm. And I've always been interested in sort of politics and global politics. So I don't know, the international relations thing I thought could be I didn't want to commit all the way to doing like pre-law or but I thought I'd be interested in going to law school someday, maybe trying to pursue a similar thing to what my mom does. I also minored in German, which is funny. I don't know if the German teacher, Mr. Herr Koppel, is still at Springfield High, but he's great. You know, everybody came out of his classroom at least speaking a little bit of German. So I went on to minor in it in college. I think I was just doing a bunch of random stuff that seemed interesting in college. I think I didn't have an understanding that like what I'm doing now was even a career. And I was hopeful about wanting to be on Broadway and wanting to move to New York and be an actor and a singer. But I think a big part of me was always like, yeah, right. That's never gonna happen. You know what I mean? Like I had this side of me that was like totally delusional and like, yes, let's make it happen. I'm gonna live my dream. But the other side of me was always like, all right, like go to law school, do something that will be sort of a sure thing. And Yeah, I can't believe that it's ended up this way. It's pretty unbelievable to me to this day.
Well, I was just thinking, like, now you've used that international relations degree because you're touring around the world. I mean, it's incredible to look at the tour that you have coming up. And of course, we're going to talk here about your Springfield show. But before we get there, you're going to be traveling the world even before you step back to your hometown here. So you're going to be going to Paris and other sites in Europe as well. Can you talk a bit about how that experience has been over the last few years? Because you really became a social media phenomenon during COVID, and we're all sort of locked away in our own homes. And now here you are sharing that voice of yours with the world. And how has that experience been over the last few years?
Great question. When my career, I guess, first sort of started online, it was this very surreal thing of having like hundreds of thousands of notifications on my social media, but I was just like living at home with my parents and my little brother. Nothing was changing about my life. So it's been definitely a crazy couple of years where suddenly I'm in Australia and like getting recognized on the street in Adelaide, Australia, or like in New Zealand, and touring in Tokyo, and realizing I have fans there. You know, it's just doesn't feel. I don't think I've quite processed all of it yet, but I think, you know, it's been amazing to see how people appreciate this music all over the world, because for a long time I didn't understand that other people love this music. I thought it was just like some weird thing about me, and I just never thought that like I would have an audience at all, let alone an audience of this size and globally.
Can't recommend enough following you on Instagram in particular, because the photos that you post of all of these places that you're touring, just absolutely remarkable. But you also are going to get to come home as well. And so I'm excited to talk to you about your Springfield show. I don't know how closely you monitor your ticket sales, but I will tell our audience that you are virtually sold out for our December show. It's going to be on December 22nd at the Hoagland Center for the Arts. And I just want to talk to you a bit about that performance, because are you looking forward to coming back to Springfield and being able to perform on that stage, which you have performed on before? And what's that feeling going to be for you to step on that stage on that night?
I think it's gonna be really emotional for me. I'm like, I could tear up right now just thinking about it. But like I said, when I was a kid or when I was in high school, a teenager, I had all these big dreams and had this big part of me that just never believed they were gonna actually come true. I was so scared that they wouldn't come true. And it's gonna be definitely a full circle moment to perform in my hometown again. And as we were sort of reminiscing about before the interview started, you know, community theater in Springfield like meant the world to me when I was there. It's such an amazing, for like a small city, it just has this insanely rich and vibrant community of singers and actors and all the people who do theater. It's just amazing. So I think to see a lot of old friends from that world is going to be so incredible. And I'm expecting a lot of memories to come flooding back when I'm backstage at the Hoagland. I did like a million shows there, so it'll be pretty much like worlds colliding, like my New York band there with the Springfield people. I really can't wait.
That's fantastic. You know, I have to almost give a little bit of credit to this to Vanessa Ferguson, because the last time you were on Community Voices, she sort of did a throwaway at the very end. She said, you know, you're coming home around the holidays and you could get a little cabaret together and you could perform somewhere in Springfield. And here you are just a year later performing in Springfield. So that's great. When was.
Manifested.
Yeah, absolutely. It's totally Vanessa. What I'd like to talk about before we wrap up is that now you have truly started to make this career and explode on an international scale as far as jazz music and what you're able to do. And you know that we foster the arts quite a bit here in Springfield. You mentioned that in your past interview with Vanessa, that we do have a vibrant arts community, especially for children. And so I'm wondering if you might have some advice for kids that are involved in STC's PAVE or in the Hoagland Education Program, or those kids that are just starting out in the arts, same place that you were, what advice might you give to them as far as getting a social media presence or continuing to work on your craft? What is it that you would tell them to do?
That's a great question. I think when I got to college for theater, I felt a little bit behind or something, because I, you know, all, so many kids from my program had grown up in New York or grown up in LA or all these big cities and on the coast. And coming from, you know, a relatively small city in the Midwest, I think I had not known a bunch of people who were on actors, and I hadn't seen 50 Broadway shows by the time I was 18, you know. And I think because of that, I didn't understand how many opportunities there truly are to work in the arts, you know, even if you're not becoming an actor, becoming a singer, like there are so many jobs to do. And so I think my biggest piece of advice would be, you know, even if you don't know anyone in your direct community as a kid or as a teenager who's doing this as a job, like it is possible. Like you can make it happen. So that's one thing. And then the other thing would be that social media is such an amazing tool, and social media is bad in many ways, but as an artist and as a young creative person, I think, you know, it knocks on so many doors. Again, before you would have maybe had to, like, I would have had to move to New York and already have connections, and I was able to just like make it happen on my own pretty much just from having this following on social media. Like I moved to New York not really knowing anybody. And so I think to use it to your advantage, to not be scared of being cringe or afraid of what your friends are gonna think, all feelings that I had at the beginning that I still sometimes have, just to like post a video of you singing, post a video of your painting. Like even if it's not perfect yet, it's never gonna be perfect, but it'll keep getting better when you keep showing up for yourself.
For those out there that want to follow along with your career, and also I will mention again that the Hoagland Center for the Arts show is virtually sold out, but you can still get tickets. Very few remain at hcfta.org. That'll be on December 22nd. It's a Monday night. I'm hoping maybe we get a mix of some Christmas music along with some It's Magic and some other jazz standards. Is that right?
Oh yeah, definitely some Christmas tunes. Come on.
Absolutely. So if people want to follow along with your career, where best should they do that?
Yeah, but my website is stellacool.net, where you can get the vinyl and read my bio and all that good stuff. But on social media is probably the best place, Instagram or TikTok. Stella K. Cole is my handle.
Stella, it's great to just continue to witness from afar, your career and where it's going to go. I just know that your future is truly written in the stars, and it is wonderful to see you continue to succeed. So, thanks so much for coming on Community Voices again and talking to us all here in Springfield.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me. I can't wait to be back in December.